fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Weird, wacky Friday. We got NCAA tournament games. We've got the Badgers tonight. We're either going to get smoked or pull off a miraculous run. The Bucks play tomorrow, right? I kind of like forgot.
Yeah, they got the Spurs.
This is like the 2 weeks when I forget that the Bucks exist.
Yeah.
Because of the tournament.
Brewers got a big one today.
Oh, yeah, Brewers. Hey, speaking of the Brewers, Tim Dillard's on the line, so let's bring him in. The former Brewer pitcher, pitched with the Milkmen last year, will be on the TV coverage for the Brewers. Tim, first and foremost, congrats on your retirement in the game of baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Too bad for Milwaukee, though. You can't get rid of me. I just keep popping up everywhere.
when you first popped up on the broadcast, yeah, okay, we're like, yeah. But then when you played for the Milkmen, we're like, oh, my God, we really can't get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I just keep dragging myself through there. But it's awesome. Yeah, retirement's great. I was retired for like 7 days. It was perfect.
I was kind of sad that you retired from baseball. I was hoping you'd like be one of those guys that pitches into their 40s, like 45 years old, and just keep going for it.
Yeah, I thought I could do it too. My wife said no. So here we are.
So you are joining. I'm gonna say Bally Sports Wisconsin. There's a big name change, and you're getting all new gear and T-shirts, and it's going to look different, but it'll be the same broadcast we know and love, except that there's going to be a few more faces. You and Vinny Rotino. I love Vinny because he's a UW lacrosse guy, as am I, but I don't know Vinny. I don't know much about him. I just know that he caught here for a while. Are you guys, like, did you guys get approached as a duo, or are you guys like a Abbott and Costello type of thing, or how did you get matched up with Vinny?
I have no idea. I didn't find out about it till just a few days before this whole thing was released. But I've known Vinny. I've known Vinny my whole career. Like, I mean, he was a catcher there for a while. He played every position behind me one time. I mean, he's awesome. I remember one time we were like having a mound visit, and because we were in trouble, right? Whatever I got into, I had like four people on base. We were in trouble, and he was just freaking out. And I was like, Vinny. I was like, you're a catcher. You can't be the one that freaks out. Let me freak out. He's like, I'm freaking out, man.
Well, now you guys will be. So you were like probably approached to do this, and then so is Vinny. And you guys didn't know each other was being approached?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this all happened really quick. I mean, as of like a couple weeks ago, I was still playing catch, throwing bullpens, planning for minor league camp with the Texas Rangers starting like April 1st. And now here I am. I'm on the radio with you guys. This is crazy.
And you'll be on Brewers Live, and you'll be. Do I have that right? You're going to do some of the, like the play-by-play broadcast, the color guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to let me do that. I got to do two games last year just because they had a need that popped up, and I was in Milwaukee with the Milkmen, like you said. And so they were like, "Hey, can you drive over here and do a couple of broadcasts for the TV, like during the game?" And I was just like, why wouldn't I? Of course. So I went there and they, you know, tested me and they threw me up in the booth and they were like, okay, talk baseball. And I was like, sweet. I do this anyway by myself. So might as well let some other people listen.
You feel like you're going to do some practice? Are you going to have some nerves? Or are you just going to jump right into it? Like, how do you prepare now? Like, especially if you're getting set to go pitch and then all of a sudden just jump into broadcasting. I mean, man, I'm kind of disappointed. You make it look so easy.
Yeah. No, no, it's strange. I don't get to use a glove or pine tar anymore. It's very strange. I don't know how to prepare except just sit there and, you know, jump right in. You know, everyone's like, we got to find your craft. You got to do this. It's like, maybe I'll just find it along the way. That's kind of how I, you know, my career's gone anyway. I just kind of jump in and go, and then something leads to something else, and you just kind of keep following that rabbit.
Do you got like a trademark or a slogan or anything that you're going to bring to the table? Anything that you're working out?
I don't know. You stay classy, Milwaukee. No, I don't know.
You know what you should do is be like, you know how like Tony Romo is like, oh, he always predicts everything right?
Mm-hmm.
You should be like that, only purposely predict stuff wrong.
Yeah, like
all
be like,
the time.
Here's a four seamer when you know it's a curve in the dirt coming.
Yeah, actually, I think Yelich, I think he should lay down the bunt here when they're up 4-0 or something, and just always get it wrong.
Yelich is going to bat right-handed this next at bat. Mark my words. No, I actually did that a little bit when doing the two games I did in Milwaukee last year. I was like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if this happens. And then it wouldn't happen. And I'd just go, and I would go, I was wrong. You know, like, I think people are afraid to say what they think is going to happen because they may be wrong. But I was up in the booth with Matt LePay, and I mean, we decided I was probably about 50% right. So you got to throw it out there just in case. Romo just does it, and he's pretty much, 100% accurate.
Yeah, it's something to try. We'll be watching for that. So, because you're going to be at Tim Dillard's joining us, along with the way that the press release is, so I want to get this clear, it's going to be the guys that we know, and then they're going to throw it to you and Vinny, or you're going to be on a desk, or you're going to do, like, prepackaged stuff, or do you have any idea yet?
I mean, it's, you know about as much as me, but it sounds like it's going to be me and Craig Kishun most of the time at the desk, you know, over in Nelly's corner, or just kind of hanging out over there and, you know, doing the pregame and the postgame, and then Vinny will be coming on when I'm not on there. So we're kind of switching out. I think we get to be on there at least one time together. So that'll be fun, messing with Vinny. It's what kept me sane in the minor league so many years.
Because the release, I was like, I thought you were like a duo.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I didn't read it. It's a lot of words.
Well, you have a new job, Tim. You're gonna be with Bally Sports Wisconsin. Opening day is April 1st, so make sure you're there for that.
Yeah.
And then look nice, because you'll be on TV. Here, I'll forward you a copy of that.
Do that. Yeah, I don't know if I have to get a haircut or a beard cut. They just wanted me to look presentable, and I'm like, well, I've been walking around like this for years. No one's really said anything bad, so.
Tim, what are your early thoughts on the rotation? I'm a bit of a degenerate gambler, and I placed a 35-1 wager on Brandon Woodruff to win Cy Young. So tell me, first off, I'm not crazy. And what do you think about the rotation? Like, as far as Corbin Burnes, do you think that he could kind of capitalize on what he did last year? What are your thoughts heading into the season? Because the NL Central is wide open. Yeah. I mean, St. Louis made some moves, but I honestly think the Brewers could win this division.
Yeah, it's going to start with pitching. It starts and ends with pitching. It always does. And they got a top one and two in Burnes and Woodruff. I mean, those guys are they're young. They're hungry for it. They stay healthy. And they can blow doors. I've seen these guys compete in Colorado Springs in AAA. We were playing on the moon. And, you know, everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And those guys get fierce. They dig deep. So, I mean, I think they want it. And I think Burnes last year, I think he was just so much ready. Like, he was just more prepared than anybody else that went out there, right? Because we had this season that was abbreviated. Everybody's kind of like, what's going on? And he just was a semi-truck just running right through everybody. I think he's definitely going to jump on that truck again. I can't wait to see him in action.
I was being negative about the ball club. Last year they got into the playoffs, losing record, but they got in. Although those Dodger-Brewer games were a little closer if you go back and watch them, then Dodgers were probably a little scared. Got through it, obviously won the World Series. But then I did a segment, it was back in like February, where I was going to say, all right, I'm just going to explain to people how bad this team is. And then so I pull up the depth chart and I'm looking at it. By the end of the 2-minute segment there, I convinced myself they're going to be good because of how good the pitching is. And then they go out and get Colton Wong, and then they go out and get Jackie Bradley Jr. And you do look at the rest of the Central. I mean, this team, I think you're going to at least have a very captivating, interesting season. I think this NL Central race is going to be fun. And then again, whether you've got a losing record or not, if you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs, man. And that's what matters.
Well, I think what a lot of people are overlooking is how much contact is going to be happening, right? People love strikeouts. Strikeouts are great. That's fine. What they're doing is they're building a staff that can put the ball in play on the ground. And so they built a defense that's going to make the plays, right? They got people in the outfield to run the ball down. I mean, one of the best outfields in baseball, let's be honest. And the defense in the infield, probably right up there too. I don't know how they rank that stuff, but they're solid at every position. So now they've built a staff where the ball's on the ground. They have a defense that's going to make the plays. Now it's just like, hey, can we put up a few runs? That's all it is. And I think Stearns has done a great job putting that together. I think it's purposeful in that way because they're actually changing the baseball a little bit to stay away from like the big home runs and things like that. So I don't know, man. It's going to be an exciting season.
Well, it'll be fun too because it's going to get back to some, you know, there's going to be somewhat of a normality with this season. Yeah. There'll be fans again and, you know, there's still the testing and stuff, but for the most part, it's going to feel a lot more like a normal season than last year did. What was last year like as far as your experience?
I mean, it's, you know, everybody's affected by, you know, what's happened. And nobody gets out of that unscathed unless you like, you know, work for Charmin or Purell. But for me personally, I was in Phoenix and showed up to the field one day in spring training and they said, okay, everything's canceled. Go home. And I was like, oh, okay. So I came home and basically I've been here ever since. I left to play for the Milkmen for a month, but I've been here ever since, right? Job completely canceled. And there's minor leaguers that, you know, aren't ever going to play again just because of that reason. So it's a tough gig. I mean, minor league baseball was already a tough gig and it just got even harder. So like I said, everybody's been affected by this thing, but man, it was tough. It was tough, but I, on the flip side, I've spent more time with my family in the last year than I have in my entire career. So hard to complain.
Yeah. Lorenzo Cain was kind of like that too. He's like, man, I spent a lot of time with my family. It's almost like he didn't want to come back to baseball because, oh, you kind of like being with the family, but of course, Lorenzo Cain, it's a nice job to have, so he will
do
the job.
He's got a bunch of money either way.
Yeah, he will. Family will be there. Get the money. The family will be there. But it's good that at least, like, when you pitch with the Milkmen, you got to face competition. I've been listening to a lot of these guys that do their Zoom press conferences. Too shy to ask a question, of course, but that's something I got to get over. But I listened to their press conferences, and they're asked a lot about the alternate training site that they had to go to. And a lot of these good young players lost a year of their career having to be at this training site where they just, like, play against each other. And now you look at the minor leagues, and they restructured it a bunch, and there's, I think it's 40 less teams. It's tough, man. I feel for a lot of these guys that kind of just – they ran into their end of the career because of the pandemic. Like some of the really younger dudes.
Yeah. And they're making it harder too, to get into baseball. I don't know how many, to professional baseball. I don't know how many rounds in the draft they got rid of, but you start looking, I know a lot of college coaches. And I see these kids that are, you know, it goes all the way back to college, like people are high school trying to get into a college. You got 40 pitchers on a team because nobody left and you got new people coming in. So, like, this ripple effect is affecting, you know, all the way down to high school. But it's on a very practical level. There's going to be people pitching in the big leagues this year that didn't face any real hitters and didn't pitch in any games last year. And that's – and I mean, think about a hitter. Think about at-bats. Because you can train all you want, but once a guy gets in the box or once a pitcher steps on that mound, I mean, you go to another level, right? That's why you see guys that pull hamstrings and pull something, you know, in their shoulder or back. It's because they haven't gotten where somebody's trying to knock the ball down your throat and you have to combat that, you know? So that's, I mean, I feel like personally, there's going to be a lot of injuries, you know, I hate to say that, but I just, if I'm predicting like Romo, that's what I would say. But at the same time, you've got to look at these teams that have depth. And so, I mean, like you said, the Brewers have depth and I think that's what's going to keep them at the top.
Even like Council was talking earlier and he said, because the AAA doesn't start now till May, so they have to use the alternate site again. So the guys that are technically AAA guys are going to come to Milwaukee for 2 weeks, play on the off days, and then the Brewers go on the road, and then they'll use the park. Then they're going to go to Appleton, which, of course, this time of the year, God knows what the weather is going to be like day to day. So, it's – you talk about the journey to get to the show, man. It's you're definitely going to earn it now if you're one of these guys.
Well, I always said, you know, when you're playing in these tough conditions, whether it's, you know, I've pitched in snow. I went trying to bunt in a hailstorm, right? Like, you don't play this long. It's not always going to be sunny and 70. It's just not going to be that way. And if you expect it to be that way, it's not going to go well for you. I think one thing that coaches specifically I can speak to in the Brewers organization is they prepare players for it not to be ideal. Council, one of the first things he said when he took over as manager, it's like, get used to, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, you, it's not always going to be perfect. Let's go ahead and shatter that bubble now, and so that you guys can go out there and play in any conditions, whatever that looks like. Now, you know, they're going to play half their games in a dome, so that's pretty legit. But there's other, yeah, they've got the alternate site. Spring training's not ideal. All this stuff that goes on. You play on the road. You play in cold conditions. It could be hot, elevation, and Colorado. Like, whatever it is, it's like, get past it and get ready to play.
You played with Council, right? I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember. I don't know if he does, but I definitely remember.
Did you ever see manager in him? Because a lot of guys, I guess you can tell when they're playing, oh, he'll be a manager.
Yeah, I think so. He took charge behind the scenes several times. We made the playoffs in 2011, and I remember a specific situation where we left out a staff member when it came to allocating the bonus money or whatever it is from the playoffs. And he took it upon himself to call everybody and make that right. So he called me up. I remember I was at the gym one day, and that's right, I work out. And anyway, he called, was like, hey, man, we forgot somebody. This is what we're going to do. And I started thinking about it. Like, he had to go through and probably talk to 60 or 80 people and do all the math and calculations on all this. And, I mean, the time and effort that he put into making that thing right was pretty awesome. And that's leadership. And that's what he did in the clubhouse. He was the first one to speak up if something was happening. And, I mean, that's what managers do. They lead.
I'm glad I asked you that because that's a good story. I'm glad I know that.
Yeah. I wish I could give more details. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do that. So,
well, hey, you get a microphone, and I hope that you've got kind of the same flexibility. I just opened this mic. I don't know what I'm going to say. And a lot of times perfect. I say something I shouldn't, but hey, whatever. You deal with it later. Good luck to you, dude. Well, I'm pumped for you.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think a lot of time when you try to plan something out, it never works.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or it comes across like, well, he planned that, or, oh, that's a prepared statement. So, yeah, off the cuff. That's how I live life.
Well, good, because I mean, I know who you are, but I did no prep for this interview. I just pulled up the press release, so I thought it'd be good.
Yeah, you called me Jim at the beginning, but I'm, you know, forgiving.
Jim Dillard joining us here on The Fan. You know what, though? You're one step closer to my dream job, so don't take it. My dream job is to be the guy that replaces Euchre, but not like I want to be the guy that replaces Euchre, and then because whoever that's going to be, they're going to be hated. So I want to be that guy for a month, take all that, you know, give me the contract and I'll take all the heat, and then the next guy will step in and then he'll be beloved because he's not the first guy that replaced him, me. So that's my dream job.
That's a genius plan. You know what? They should just honestly just retire radio when he retires. When
oh,
he decides
I agree.
I'm not going to do it anymore, they should just bang the whole thing. Yeah.
I agree. Jim Dillard, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good luck to you, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Tim Dillard, how about that?